Well, thank you, ladies, for being here again tonight. What a joy. And thank you so much, Debbie, for your testimony as a blessing to my heart and so much good stuff today. Hey, ladies, everybody had a great day? Yeah. And tonight, I would just love to share a quick testimony with you of how God worked in my life and in my family. I hope that you'll see a whole lot of grace and some grit in there too. I hope that it'll bring glory to God. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. And 1 Peter 2:9 and 10 again. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once we were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Wow, I just love that passage. And I think it's important that we take time daily to remember the gospel and to remind ourselves of where we came from, what God has done in our lives, how he has saved us. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to share just a little more about my story with you this evening. My grandma told me that when I was only about 3 years old, I would often ask her the same question over and over again when we were together and when we saw people. The question was, "Grandma, who does he or she belong to?" Both of my parents were only 17 when they had me, and my dad had chosen to leave my mom when I was only 2. He had a terrible drinking problem, and along with some other struggles too. He was unfaithful to my mom. I didn't really know him well because he was away working a lot, but I did know that my mom was sad when he left, and my grandma said I used to just walk around and say to people, "My daddy left, my daddy left." And I think that's probably why I asked that question a lot. I wanted to know who looked after a person, and I wanted to know that no one was alone and that everyone had someone who loved them, someone who they belonged to and who they were special to. I knew that Grandma and Grandpa belonged to each other and that all my aunts and uncles belonged to Grandma and Grandpa too. There were 7 of them. I knew that I belonged to my mom and that somehow we all belonged to each other. As I got a little older, I would lay in my bed at night and I would often think about some big questions. We didn't go to church, but my mom had some Catholic church background from when she was a girl, Christmas and Easter. Even though Christmas at my house was more about Santa and Easter was all about the Easter Bunny, we did not go to church. Nobody had been teaching me about God, but I wondered, where did we all come from? Who made us? Why are we here? And especially, what happens when we die? I was basically asking, who do we belong to? And who will take care of us now and forever? I actually loved thinking about those questions, and I believe that God was already beginning to reveal himself to me by causing me to wonder about him and making me curious at such a young age. My mom was a single mom until she met my real dad, the dad who raised me. Some might call him a stepdad, but to me, he became dad. The best dad and the only dad that I really ever had. He was such a gift to us. My mom and I were very close and we talked a lot. And even though she didn't tell me much about God, when I asked her about those questions I had, she would bring up God's name and she would tell me that God made us and that we will all go to heaven when we die, so just don't worry. That made me even more curious to want to know about God, but I couldn't stop worrying. I was a little girl with a lot of fears and I had severe asthma, so I spent a fair amount of time in the hospital in oxygen tents. One of my biggest fears was that my mom would die and I wouldn't have her with me anymore. She was always my safe place and the one who loved me and looked after me. She was a very good mom, even though she was so young. And she was hurting, and she was healing from many things. She definitely had strength to keep going through her difficult situation. She worked hard, usually two jobs, but she was looking to new age techniques like yoga, mindfulness, meditation, and all that kind of stuff. I was very used to seeing my mom standing on her head or in some funny yoga position in the living room. We lived in low rental housing, and one night a tragedy happened. My friend's grandma suddenly died. They lived in the same townhouses as us. She was the one who looked after him, and I saw his broken heart as she was all he had. Social services picked him up that night. The police came too. He cried, and I cried with him. And then he was gone. It was all just so sad. He didn't have any other family, just his grandma. That made me even more anxious, and I had a hard time sleeping. I was worrying about losing my mom. Not long after, my mom met Jack, and they fell in love and got married. He was so wonderful and brought such stability to our lives. We moved into a nice house and on a nice street. My mom still worked hard, but not as much as before, and we had a happy little family. When I was 8, my brother was born, and I thought that was just the best thing ever. Now our lives were really extra great, but inside, I was still searching and wondering about God. I couldn't stop thinking about him. A friend from school invited me to her church. I was so excited, but she was Jehovah's Witness, and my mom said, no. Then one day I knocked on the door of a church close to our house, and I asked if I could come in to talk to God. I was 8 years old. The pastor who answered the door was very kind, but he said, not today, but if you come back on Sunday with your mom and dad, then we would love to have you. And that was the problem. My mom and dad just had no interest in going. I asked them a lot. In the winter, my parents were busy, and we did a lot of outdoor things like ice fishing. In the summer, we went camping, so we were away most weekends. There was just no time for God or for church. Around the same time, my grandma had that encounter with Edith at the hospital that I told you about on Friday night. And she was invited to some Christian women's meetings and Bible studies. She had just become a Christian, but still went to the United Church before finding an evangelical church. She offered to take me to church whenever it worked out. I was so excited and remember watching and waiting by the window for Grandma to come and get me. That's when I started to learn about God and Jesus, and I really loved hearing the Bible stories and coloring the pictures that they gave us, but I still didn't understand the gospel. Church was just a nice place to be, and I believed that God lived there, so I liked it a lot. It didn't always work out to go with Grandma, and she eventually started to go to a different evangelical church. She started to really grow in her faith there, and she was talking to me and my mom more and more about God and Jesus. I know that my grandma was praying for my mom and for my family, along with the rest of her kids and grandkids. My mom is from a family of 8 siblings. My mom started really struggling emotionally around that same time. I was about 10. And even though her life was good, she was depressed. My grandma encouraged her to host a weekly Friendship Bible Coffee Hour through Stonecroft Ministries. Anybody remember those? My mom agreed to try it, and that's where she learned about how to have a personal relationship with Jesus. She learned that he was her rescuer and that he had paid the penalty for her sins when he gave his life to die on the cross, and that by trusting in him and turning from going her own way to going God's way, she could be forgiven and free on the inside. That she learned that through repentance and trust in Christ, she would live forever in heaven with him when she died. Just like we read in 1 Peter 1:3-5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. I saw the reality of that living hope in my mom. And at 10 years old, I watched God save my mom. And I watched my mom fall completely in love with her Savior, Jesus. She was always a smiley, fun person, even though she was sad on the inside. But this was a new kind of happiness. And I think when your mom's a single mom, you really study your mom. You know. And this was a happiness that came from within. And her blue eyes sparkled in a brand new way. Those burdens were lifted. She seemed lighter, and she was very excited to take me to church now. We started going to church every Sunday, morning service, evening service, and to Wednesday night prayer meeting and Awana. She loved being with other believers, and she took every opportunity to grow in her faith, and I loved it too. She had an intense hunger for the Word of God, and she loved to pray and memorize scripture. She also loved to sing, even though she was quite tone deaf. But oh, how I miss her. My mom now told me the answers to those questions that my little heart had longed to know. She told me that God did make us, and that He made everything else too. That He loves us, and that we are made by Him and for Him. That we are made for a purpose, to glorify Him and to enjoy Him every day. She told me that not everyone goes to heaven when they die. That there is only one way to heaven, and that is through Christ alone. That Jesus not only came to save us from our sins, but also from Satan and hell. He came so that we can have a relationship with God now and forever. She taught me that we get to tell others this good news because it is the greatest news ever. My mom was a hairdresser, and she had one of the old pump chairs in our basement. And I remember when she became a Christian and she had me come over to that chair and she said, "Jenny, I'm dedicating this chair to the Lord." And she prayed over that chair. And she prayed, I still remember so clearly, she prayed that everyone who sat in that chair would get to hear about Jesus. And my mom was so faithful. On the other side, she had like the old hair dryers that came down over your head, like a big plastic cap. And right in between those two, there was no magazines in my mom's hairdressing room. It was all tracks. And so when people sat there, she just said, "Here you go." And then on the back of the tract is where people signed if they gave their lives to the Lord. And my mom, when their hair was done drying, she'd sit beside them in that little chair next to them. And she led so many people to the Lord. So my mom was a hairdressing missionary. She told me that God is good and that He wants us to have the best life. And that's why He gave us the Bible, so that we can know Him and understand how to live for Him, so that we can see how much we need Jesus, and so that we can avoid the things that will harm us and follow the things that will help us. God gives us warnings and promises. He gives us His Holy Spirit to convict and comfort. His Bible is a huge love letter. It's also like an instruction manual on how to live a godly life. My mom taught me about heaven, our real home, and how amazing it will be to live in the presence of God, where His word says that He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Revelations 21:4. I got to watch the miracle and transformation that took place in my grandma's life first, and then in my mom's life. I saw Jesus in them, and the fruits of the Spirit of God: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I watched as both of these women, who were so precious to me, trusted God day by day by day. As they read his word, sought to obey his word, prayed, and did their best to love others around them, I was watching. And I could see so clearly that God is real. They weren't perfect women. They made lots of mistakes. But they were humble, and they were always seeking to grow in faith. And they were honest. They took the time to talk to me about God and the Bible. They both loved Jesus very much, and they talked about him a lot. They were loyal to him. God was first in their lives. They both went through many hard trials, and I saw them lean on God and depend on him through everything. They prayed, and I saw how the Lord faithfully cared for them in the good times and the hard times. I saw many answers to prayer. They both loved to talk about God and to God. They were prayer warriors. Witnessing all of this had such a huge impact on my life, and being in church each Sunday around Christian families also impacted me. I'm so thankful for that little Bible-believing church down the street from our house. It was called Park Avenue Bible Church, and when people would ask us which church we went to, I'd always say, the Bible Church. How they were faithful to preach and teach God's word, and how they loved our family and discipled my mom and I. I went forward at an altar call one Sunday night when I was 11. I asked God to forgive me of my sins, and I put my trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Not long after, my mom and I were both baptized on the same Sunday. I'm so grateful for God's amazing grace. There is much more to my story, and I definitely went through some struggles and made some poor choices in my late teens while in university. And that caused me to quit university and go to Bible school just to try to figure out how I actually wanted to live my life. I was very close to leaving my faith at that time, but God was faithful. And at Bible school, I was reminded all over again of his great love for me and that he forgives, even when I should have known better. I had a really hard time forgiving myself for being so foolish and so unfaithful to God and his word. I was really ashamed of myself. And I honestly felt unworthy of his love and forgiveness. But he used these verses to speak to my heart and to draw me back to himself. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. Isaiah 1:18. Oh, thank you so much. You think I would learn by now. And if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. 2 Timothy 2:13. And the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's at Psalm 103, 8-12. As I read and studied the Bible and took part in special nights of worship, God melted my heart all over again. And I prayed to him in brokenness and repentance, asking him to forgive me for drifting so far away from him and for making such a mess of my life in such a short time. I still remember the incredible feeling of his amazing grace, how he surrounded me with his love, and how he forgave me and set me free on the inside. It only took a moment with him. I wept and wept and wept as I felt the weight of the guilt that I had been carrying lift. And I knew that God had once again done a miracle in my heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Psalm 51:10 to 12 was my prayer. And I had a new assurance of his love and commitment to me, of his goodness. I was completely forgiven, and it felt amazing. I gave my entire life to him in full surrender to his love. And I can hardly believe that that was over 33 years ago now. And he's always been faithful to me. And there were two women who had never stopped praying. My mom and my grandma. Shortly after, I met and fell in love with my husband and best friend. I really prayed that I could marry a man who loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's exactly the kind of man that Jeff is. And he has loved me and encouraged me in life and faith for over 32 years. God has been so faithful in the good and hard times for us. I'm thankful for the gift that God gave me and Jeff. I can't imagine anyone more perfect for me. There was a time when I thought that because of the mistakes I had made, I would never get to marry a Christian man, that a good Christian man would never want to marry me. But God had other plans, amazing plans. His grace won again. And he has also blessed us with six wonderful children who are mostly adults now. They've been and continue to be such a joy to us. Each one is so unique and such a blessing. We love them more than words can say, and God has used them to teach us so much about ourselves and about himself. They are the best for us. Thank you for listening to part of my testimony. Lately, God has been reminding me of some verses from a long time ago. They're really common verses, but these are verses that when our church, when you graduated, you wrote out a verse and they made a prayer card and put it on the bulletin board. And my verses were Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. So many years ago, and that verse has been precious to me ever since, but just the last little while, it just coming alive again. And something that I've battled with in my life is anxiety and panic attacks. I'm grateful for God's healing hand in my life in this area, but at times I still struggle. So for the past year and a half, whenever I start to worry or fear about all the things that us women can tend to worry and fear about, God reminds me of those simple verses. And the question or challenge is, Jenny, are you trusting in me with all your heart? Are you submitting to me in all your ways? And it's been changing me. When physical pain is overwhelming and I'm tempted to give into it, the Lord calls me to trust. I can testify that God is good and kind through times of unbearable pain, both physical and emotional. When I worry about my kids, he calls me to trust and to rest in him. Are you trusting in me with all, A-L-L, capital A-L-L, with all your heart? And like I said before, he truly is the treasure in every trial, and the promise of his presence is absolutely everything. No matter what happens to me or to you, we can rest in the assurance that God will be there to see us through. The Lord is my shepherd. He's everything I need. I have everything I need. As women, I want to encourage you to keep loving God and to be faithful, to pray for and to teach your children, grandchildren, or any person who God has placed in your life. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Trust in the Lord and do good. The people in our lives are watching and listening, just like I was with my mom and my grandma. And if you ever wonder if children think about spiritual things, I hope that this little testimony reminds you that they do. I was only 3 and 4 years old when those questions started coming into my head at night. At any age, we are made to wonder about who we really belong to, who made us, and what the purpose of our life really is. There's a longing for more, and the more is God. The only real answer to those questions is always God. We belong to God, and we were made to love and enjoy Him now and forever. My mom died suddenly of cancer 11 years ago when she was only 59 years old, and I miss her every single day. I honestly can't put it into words how much I miss her, but I am comforted to know exactly where she is and who she is with. The one who she loved so dearly and who loves her even more. While she was in palliative care, she would smile through her tears and say how much she loved us and was going to miss everything about being here with us. But she also talked about going to heaven to be with Jesus and God. She would tell the nurses, the cleaning staff, the food services people, anyone who would listen. I was supposed to go to Hawaii for my 60th birthday, but instead, I'm going to paradise. And she was just glowing. He really was her very best friend and the true joy of her life. She had so much peace, and there was no fear in dying. She told our kids, like Billy Graham, that soon people would say that Nana is dead, but that they needed to remember that only her body died, and that the real her, her soul, was in heaven, waiting for all of us to come there too. Truly, no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. I'm so thankful for her godly example and for my grandma's too. They both died with their eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. So let us also fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Hebrews 12:2. My mom and grandma are both in heaven together, and I know that one day I'll be there too, just like we read in 1 Peter. But until we go to our heavenly home, we have some things to learn and do. I want to be faithful like those who've gone before me. God wants us to seek to live a life that is holy and pleasing to Him. That's how we glorify Him best. So how do we do that? Peter gives us some great instructions on how we can do that. And he reminds us that trials and sufferings are a certain part of this life, on how to walk through difficult times and even persecution. Remember that Peter wrote these letters to comfort and encourage Christians under the threat of violent persecution. He challenges them to keep their faith and exhorts them to overcome hardships in hope. He warns them against hedonism, heresies, and false teachers, and he urges them to stand firm in the truth and to keep their faith strong. Peter had walked with Jesus for 3 years and had seen firsthand Christ's example and what it looks like to live in holiness while being in a hostile world. God gives us this clear message through Peter. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. 1 Peter 2:17. I believe that he is telling them and us to value people, no matter what they are doing, to pray for their souls. Prayer, in my opinion, is one of the highest forms of valuing someone, and there are such spiritual riches to be found in Peter's letters to the churches in Asia Minor and to us today. So let's pick up reading. We're going to hear from our favorite preacher tonight, Peter. We'll pick up reading 1 Peter chapter 4 and 5, and I'd like to ask you to do the same thing we did this morning, and just whatever stands out to you, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, highlight it or jot it down. I don't know if we'd have time tonight to talk about those things, but I'll let Emma, when I'm done, I'll let you come up and you can see how things are going. But please follow along carefully in your Bible, and may the Lord bless the reading of his word. So again, that's 1 Peter chapter 4 and 5. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles wanted to do, living in sensuality, passions and drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh, the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because of the Spirit of glory, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Thank you, ladies.